Hello and welcome to the HIMSS AMDIS Physician Community Podcast Series. I am Pam Brewer, coordinator of HIS, and we are very fortunate to be discussing the complexities of e-prescribing. We have a point-counterpoint presentation with a pharmacist and a physician viewpoint. Today we have with us Dr. Pat Hale. She is the Deputy Director, Office of Health Information Technology Transformation, at New York State Department of Health, Albany, New York. Dr. Hale has over 15 years of clinical experience in internal medicine as well as clinical application of medical informatics. She has led EMR implementation projects in both the ambulatory and inpatient setting, including e-prescribing and inpatient physician order entry. She was Chief Medical Informatics Officer at Glens Falls Hospital prior to her current position, where she has led an initiative implementing computerized physician order entry with full-loop medication management, including barcode identification. Dr. Hale is co-author of a textbook on electronic medical records published by ACP, as well as co-author of a comprehensive report on electronic prescribing published by the eHealth Initiative, and also editor of a book on electronic prescribing for clinicians that was published by HIMSS. She continues clinical practice as medical director of the Glens Falls Regional Osteoporosis Center and sees patients in the osteoporosis specialty clinic. Our other guest today is Kevin Marvin, RPH, Principal Kevin Marvin Consulting, LLC, from Burlington, Vermont. Mr. Marvin brings a wealth of experience from both the pharmacy and the IT side of e-prescribing. He has been a pharmacist informaticist for 29 years. He has held multiple roles during his professional career, including consultant at NIH Clinical Center, RIO in New York City, University Hospital in Vermont, University Hospital IT in Madison, Wisconsin, Cincinnati, Ohio, and Burlington, Vermont. He was pharmacy product director for two pharmacy system vendors and an adjunct university professor. He has also served on the JCO IT advisory board and has been an AHRQ e-prescribing pilot grant reviewer. He has also published chapters on safe use of medication automation and e-prescribing. Welcome, Dr. Hale and Mr. Marvin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today we have a number of questions that we would like for you to answer from your particular point of view. Dr. Hale, I'd like to start with you. What do you believe as a physician that a pharmacist or pharmacy needs to understand about your workflow and patient issues?
E-prescribing is a tremendous opportunity for clinicians to improve both the workflow and the care process for taking care of patients. But there's some real challenges still because it's a new technology and fitting it in with the way we practice medicine can be a challenge in a lot of settings. And some of the issues that come up are the variations in the way medical practice occurs for physicians. I think it's difficult for pharmacists to clearly understand the different settings that patients and the clinicians are working in and how that impacts the way they may see prescribing occur. Some of the issues are that physicians have different size practices. Some practice in clinic settings where there may be support staff that are involved in a great deal of the actual prescribing process, and the clinician themselves may have a limited role or a role in only certain circumstances. In addition, clinicians are very mobile, and oftentimes they're working in different settings where they may not have access to patient information to be able to answer questions if someone can't communicate with them quickly and at the time they're seeing the patient. So the timing is also an issue for clinicians in terms of if you want to catch me being able to answer your question, a lot of times it's going to be very helpful to do that as soon as possible to the point of time when I'm seeing the patient, because I may leave the office to go to the hospital or another setting soon after that. In addition, there are issues around physicians and the types of practices they have as well. In some settings, patients are seen many times over a length of a period of time because they're being cared for chronic illnesses. So in internal medicine, you may have a panel of patients that you're quite familiar with because you see them for chronic illness frequently. However, in some of the specialty settings, the frequency of visits may be short, and in fact, some of those may be occurring in emergency room settings where the follow-up and the ability to have the information on the patient is even a greater challenge. Our cross-coverage situation where we are cross-covering for each other as physicians also adds a challenge in the fact that, again, being able to respond to questions and respond to issues about prescriptions can be delayed when the physician isn't available to answer those questions. So I think the mobility and the differences in practice settings are a challenge. Another thing is that our prescribing software is very different than what the pharmacists are using, and the data feeds for us can sometimes not match up well. And it's getting much better in terms of the availability of accurate formulary information for physicians to be able to choose the most appropriate medication for their patient that will be covered by their insurance. But we still have challenges in having that kind of information. So anything that can be done for projects to work together to try to work out issues to make sure that the formulary information is the same between both what the pharmacy is seeing and what the clinician is seeing is very helpful. And then the most important thing I'd like to bring up is that in terms of a clinician's office, the thing that can be most productive in terms of making it cost-effective for prescribing is the renewal process. So if there can be work between the pharmacist and the pharmacies and the clinician's practice to do anything to make the renewal process smooth and efficient and electronic, that can cut down the phone calls for both the clinicians and the pharmacists as well. So all of those things can be very, very helpful. And any time that you can get people working together to overcome those issues, I think would be really a great way to improve the ability to implement e-prescribing.
Thank you, Dr. Hale. That was a very insightful overview from a physician perspective. Mr. Marvin, would you like to handle the same question in terms of what does the physician need to know about the pharmacy workflow and patient issues, and perhaps speak to some of the items that Dr. Hale mentioned?
Well, certainly. The pharmacy workflow, in many ways, at least currently, doesn't change a whole lot with e-prescribing, and the main reason is because the percentage of e-prescriptions that are actually coming into a pharmacy are fairly small. Certainly the hope is, as time goes on, it will be significantly higher and pharmacy can reap a lot more of the benefits of e-prescribing. But right now, what e-prescribing does to pharmacy is actually introduce additional workflows to some workflows that already exist. A good way to think about it is the way prescriptions come into the pharmacy. You have patients that walk in with handheld prescriptions that they hand to the pharmacy. You have prescriptions coming in via fax. We have physicians that are telephoning prescriptions into the pharmacy. We have online systems for patients to telephone in and electronically leave a request for a refill or to get on the web to request refills. So there are a lot of different inputs that are coming into the pharmacy, and the pharmacist, in working through all these inputs, needs to prioritize their work to, as best as possible, have the prescriptions ready when the patient needs the prescriptions, either when they're coming in at a later time or they may be waiting and you have to turn the prescriptions over fairly quickly. And that has become quite a challenge for pharmacies because the e-prescribing software is quite variable in terms of how it handles the e-prescriptions coming into pharmacy. Most of them have a notice that pops up on the screen that an e-prescription has arrived, and the pharmacist can then look at that e-prescription and identify where that fits in to the priorities at hand. Oftentimes they're not aware after they look at that several more prescriptions may have come in that actually have a higher priority. But because they've already looked at it once, they've already gotten the warning, they don't necessarily know that additional prescriptions have come. So there's a lot of workflow issues in the pharmacy in having to deal with both the old process of paper and telephone as well as the new process with e-prescriptions. Now, in addition, the pharmacist has to, since they're generally dealing with the patient that is right there in the pharmacy or will be coming to the pharmacy very quickly, they need to have the answers and issues taken care of as quickly as possible. And there's a sort of a level of trust that needs to develop with the e-prescribing workflows, especially the questions that might come up where they need to go back and interact with the physician. There's some level of lack of trust that a message that would go through an e-prescribing system may not be turned around as quickly or meet their needs as well as the telephone call. And sometimes, you know, based on the type of interaction that occurs, the telephone call is still better. And so that's a struggle that pharmacy has to deal with in terms of how to best use the capabilities of e-prescribing.
You've both pointed out a number of challenges to e-prescribing. Dr. Hale, let me ask you, are you surprised by any of the challenges that Mr. Marvin mentioned?
I think he's made some wonderful points, and it points out one of the things that I've learned over the process of working with more pharmacists in this field, is that understanding the workflow that the pharmacists are dealing with and having the pharmacists understand what the physicians are dealing with points out how important any of these projects are in terms of you need both groups working together to have a successful project. And one of the things over the years when I've been working to do e-prescribing that stood out with for me is that if you're the only one doing e-prescribing and you aren't reaching out and you don't have a partnership with other clinicians and with the pharmacists to go forward, it's almost a disaster from the start. You're going to really have significant problems from the start. So having these relationships that are critically important in going forward. And then the other thing that was pointed out, too, is that in the whole idea of using information systems, the critical thing about information systems is they're great for the purpose that they were intended for, but they aren't intended for every purpose. And we're trying to improve communication. We're trying to improve and find ways in which electronic systems improve on the communication systems we have. But it doesn't mean they 100% replace those, and there's always going to be place for a phone call and, you know, one-to-one interactions. And it's finding the right way and the right person to be doing the interactions that's critical going forward. So I think those were two important points that I got from some of the things that he said.
Thank you. Mr. Marvin, anything to add?
Well, I think it is very important for the pharmacist to understand the different types of workflows and practice environments of the physicians that are sending the prescriptions to the pharmacy. You know, as Pat pointed out, there are times when the physician really does want immediate feedback if there are any issues because they're not going to be available because they may be going into surgery or there may be other issues that they have to take care of that they cannot be as available as a pharmacist might want them to be. I think there's cases when the telephone calls are made that it's very important that the practice staff as well as the pharmacist have some level of interaction with regards to, in the future, how should this type of discussion occur? You know, can they trust using e-prescribing messages? Should they be expecting a different level of turnover of questions? And so I think, just as Pat said, the more communication, the better, so the users can then trust the technology more and use the technology more.
That makes sense. Can we turn for just a moment to the patient perspective? As a health practitioner, what challenges do you see that patients have with e-prescribing, and what do you think can be done to provide the best e-prescribing experience for those patients? Dr. Hale, would you like to take that one first?
Sure. For my patients, the things that come up right off the bat is there's always the initial concern about an electronic system replacing the paper, and patients feeling, I always say that when a patient sees you, they need to go home with a prize. They need to have some tangible evidence that you understood their problem and you were giving them something to deal with it. And a prescription has often been what physicians have been using to, you know, perform that service. So the fact that you're not giving anything physically tangible is really hard for patients, and psychologically is a challenge. It, you know, sometimes you don't realize that that's the challenge, but it is there. The second thing is that we still have this communication problem with making sure that the handoff has really been done and effective. So even in the world that we deal with now, we struggle with patients getting to a pharmacy and not having their prescription available and some communication problem with the prescription. And the electronic systems don't erase those issues. And we need better ways to, you know, have that guarantee that when you get there, the prescription is going to be there for you to pick up, and that electronic prescription went through and made it through, and there was some kind of messaging that allowed everyone to know that it was completed and there wasn't any errors that had to be overcome and didn't get addressed. So I think that those are probably the the two biggest ones. And by working in teams, by planning a project and sitting down and making discussions and agreements of milestones, at what point you can depend on the system and not depend on the verbal backup, I think is a good way to address some of these issues and making sure that you're progressing in your project and not having to just fall back on the old methods because you hadn't planned the project well together.
So from your perspective, increasing the patient comfort level in using e-prescribing would be key to making it more successful from a patient perspective.
Yes. I think the other concern patients have, too, is freedom to choose their pharmacy. I think they're concerned that they maintain that freedom to choose whatever pharmacy. And we do have a challenge at times that a patient says, well, I just don't know what pharmacy I do want to go to. That's a problem for e-prescribing because you need to know where to send the prescription.
Absolutely. Mr. Marvin, anything that you'd like to add in regards to the patient perspective on e-prescribing?
I agree with Dr. Hale on the importance of involving patients in the improvements of the prescribing process to make sure that we as healthcare providers really understand what their needs and what their issues are with e-prescribing. Oftentimes, a prescription gets written immediately patient leaving the physician's office, and I think sometimes patients expect when they arrive at the pharmacy, which sometimes can be just a couple minutes later, that e-prescription is ready for them. Amazingly, in some cases it is, but in many other cases it is not. And so just the understanding of what the issues and the expectations are with patients, the promotion and communication to patients of what to expect around e-prescribing is also very important. There's a whole new workflow that Pat mentioned that is introduced with e-prescribing, and that's the selection of the pharmacy. Whereas patients used to be able to select that pharmacy pretty much at will and be able to change that selection very easily, that's not necessarily as easy now. And I think probably as important as anything is the need for continuous process improvement with regards to the e-prescribing process that involves pharmacists, patients, and physicians. So we work out the issues around tracking prescriptions, maybe have enhancements to systems to help support the needs of the patients and others as we deal with these new kinds of issues that we're introducing.
Excellent points. The last question that I'd like for you both to respond to, and then we'll take just a few minutes to talk about available resources, is what do you suggest to make the ultimate experience of e-prescribing better for all parties involved? Dr. Hale, would you like to respond first?
Sure. I think that for clinicians, it's do your homework. It's going to require more than just talking to vendors to understand what all you're going to need to really make it successful. And we'll talk about the resources at the end, but there's some wonderful resources in a number of areas that you can reach out to find out all the things that you need besides software to make e-prescribing successful, not only for you and your patients, but also successful economically for your practice. So I think that's a very important one. And the second one is it's something that really should be a project, and the project should have the office staff, the community if possible, other clinicians, and the pharmacists involved, because if you do the project that way, then the expectations for everyone can be improved, and you can reach the final goal of some of the things like, you know, the renewal process and some of the other things, cutting down phone calls that help everybody's work process. You can get there a whole lot faster working together. So those are the main things that I would like to mention.
Very good. Mr. Marvin, anything you'd like to add there?
I would say it's really important for pharmacists to be involved, to be actively involved in improving the process, working with physicians and patients to improve the process, and as Dr. Hale mentioned, to network with other pharmacists and other pharmacies, not just within your state or within your region, but in other regions. Where I live in Vermont, the e-prescribing percentages are actually quite low, but not very far from here in the Boston area, they're quite high. And the kind of information that somebody in a state like Vermont can get from folks in Boston is tremendous in terms of their abilities to set themselves up for success in the future as e-prescribing increases. So I think that that's really important. The other piece I think is really important for pharmacists to get involved, several e-prescribing standards that have not been finalized that need to be finalized for pharmacy to really get the ultimate benefit of e-prescribing. Currently, they need to retranscribe the e-prescription into their own pharmacy systems. The standards with regards to the SIG or the instructions on the e-prescription have not been finalized either. And so there's a lot of potential for improvement within the process of pharmacy and ultimately allowing that e-prescription to reach all the way to the patient without having additional transcription occur. So I see there's a lot of potential for improvement, and everybody needs to be involved in making sure that that happens and happens in the right way.
Excellent points. I keep hearing that word communication and involved in each of the questions that you've answered, and that really does seem to be overarching in all the questions that we've discussed today. Could you each take just a few moments to share with us some resources that are available for our listeners to find out additional information on e-prescribing? Dr. Hale?
Sure. For clinicians, their medical societies are a tremendous resource. If you're a family practice, then AAFP has some wonderful information. American College of Physicians has tremendous amount of information. And these organizations have supportive information as well. They have usually people you can call and get contacts and really help you through evaluation and process and get you lined up with people who can help you. Regional chapters of those organizations are also helpful. At the state level, there's often a lot of things going on at state level. In New York State, of course, we reach out to the Department of Health because we're always here to try and move things forward. But that's true in other states as well. Reach out to state organizations and find out what's going on, because there's a lot of things going on in communities. There's regional health information network organizations as well. So reach out to what's going on in your communities. But also, I highly recommend some of the things, the resources online. And HIMSS has a wiki site specifically for e-prescribing, which when you go to the website, the HIMSS website, you can find information on, and also from the podcast website. So reach out to that. That's meant for everyone. There's all levels of information there. And there's books available. Certainly we worked on a book for HIMSS that's basically implementation stuff, complete with handouts that you can just fill in to help you with the implementation process. So there's real hands-on kinds of stuff out there now, because enough people have had experience in doing e-prescribing that they can help guide you. And then the last thing, I just want to reiterate what was said before, that being active and getting involved, there's nothing like people out in the field who are doing this to help in making sure that things get implemented well. So if you have the time and the energy, there's always an open door and an open ear for you to help in the process of making this all work better.
Mr. Marvin?
I would agree with Pat and everything she said. The resources available from HIMSS and other organizations are tremendous. There's certainly e-prescribing is definitely in the limelight right now. It is a pathway towards the electronic medical record. That's an important piece. It begins an organization's transition to working with the electronic systems as well as communicating between practitioners. And so e-prescribing is a great way to get started. And it's also a great way to get started towards an electronic medical record without a whole lot of upfront costs. And so I think there's a lot of potential there. The state boards of pharmacy are a wealth of knowledge for the pharmacists in the individual states. The pharmacy societies, ASHP, which is associated and has does a lot of work with HIMSS, is also a good source of information. There are a number of other pharmacy societies, as well as the state pharmacy organizations, are very helpful. The wholesalers also have a lot of information and provide a tremendous amount of education to pharmacists around e-prescribing. And so most wholesalers have a number of different presentations and continuing education programs available.
Thank you for sharing those resources. We have a number of those links on the Physician Community Podcast page. And I want to thank you both for such a comprehensive and informative podcast today.
We're very happy to participate.
Yes, thank you very much.
We've been chatting today with Dr. Pat Hale and Mr. Kevin Marvin about e-prescribing. This has been the HIMSS AMDIS Physician Community Podcast, Pam Brewer reporting.